There was no one in the immediate area. Once settled on the ground, he retrieved his rifle and locked the hover cycle down so no one but he could access it. He was positive Alice was keeping watch on his escapades. However, to date, she had been decidedly quiet about it. Slipping inside the main building through a side entrance, its glass doors shattered and the frames empty, he paused to look around. As he proceeded into the hallway, his helmet compensated for the changes in lighting, ensuring he had good visibility. Absently, he noticed his combat suit had changed color, matching the dingy paint on the surrounding walls. Following the hallway, he entered what had once been a large casino. Parked inside were the remains of what was once a beautiful classic 1930s Rolls-Royce, its interior ripped apart and windows broken by some vandal. Jake remembered the casinos were famous for displaying classic and collector cars for their gambling public to admire. It reinforced the dreams of hitting it big and owning one of their own one day. All around the room, someone had smashed up the rows of slot machines, leaving debris all over the floor. Disgusted by the vandalism, Jake moved past the car and continued into the casino. A huge car guy himself, he fumed at the lack of respect. It also spawned the thought of potentially rescuing some of the abandoned treasures still languishing around the city. He had barely started his wandering when a noise caused him to pause and take cover in a recess by one wall. As he watched, his proximity display lit up inside his helmet, showing two red dots moving quickly from outside the building into the space he now occupied. Behind them, four more dots appeared, apparently in pursuit of the first. Moving his attention from his display to watch the hall at the far side of the room, Jake saw two kids scramble into the room and then duck behind a counter nearby. Jake thought he saw a boy about 7 and a girl no more than 5. Both were dirty and very thin. Moments later, three men and a woman appeared from the same route, all armed and apparently quite put out. They looked like the drifters Jake had seen in many other places.
"I'm sick and tired of them damn kids stealing from us," Jake heard one of the men say.
"They're like rats, always into things," the woman replied.
Jake watched as the four split up and started slowly moving through the casino, searching. He knew he should probably slip out quietly. However, this was touching on one of the two things Jake couldn't ignore. He had a soft spot for kids and animals in distress. Retreating deeper in the recess, he watched the four on his display as they moved about the casino floor, looking for the two kids hidden behind the counter. As one of the men peeked around the corner where Jake was hiding, he quickly reached out, activating a handy little addition to his combat suit, recently installed. Since Jake began his slumming excursions, he had requested various non-lethal additions to his inventory. He expected he might encounter people that, while he wouldn't consider them recruit material, he didn't need to end their lives either. Smoke and gas grenades were now in the hover cycle inventory, as well as beanbag and rubber bullet ammunition for the weapons. In this case, Jake activated a taser function in the BDU itself that extended to his glove. As Jake grabbed the man, the drifter was treated to a jolt strong enough to knock him cold. Jake held the slumping form, assisting the unconscious form to the floor silently. Crouching, Jake slipped out from his hiding place and circled around behind the other three, keeping himself low and out of sight. From the indicators in his display, he could see the three closing in on the counter where the kids sat silently. Setting his rifle down, Jake drew the most interesting weapon he had carried for this purpose. Essentially a handheld railgun, it held darts with a tranquilizer that instantly incapacitated its target. Good for no more than 5 minutes, it was intended to give Jake the time he needed to escape without leaving the victim exposed to other dangers. Suddenly, Jake heard a commotion in the area of the counter.
"Gotcha!"
one of the men shouted as he rounded the counter and extracted the two children out by their hair. Popping up from behind the row he was crouched behind, Jake tagged one of the men and the woman, dropping both in place, while crossing the room where the last man stood holding both kids. All three froze in place at the vision of Jake, pistol in hand.